Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 29. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And I want to direct your attention back to two verses before we go to the Lord in prayer. One is verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. And verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among you the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the hope of Christmas. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you today for the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit that we felt. And Lord, through every trial, through every struggle, if we know you, Lord Jesus, if our sins have been washed away, this world can take everything away from us, but it cannot take away our joy. It cannot take away our hope that we have in you, Christ Jesus. And Lord, it cannot take away the continual affirmation given to us by the Spirit of God that validates that hope and makes it real to us. And I pray today, Lord, as we face the close of one year and the beginning of a new year, that, Lord, you would solidify us deeper in your truth today. That, Lord, every day we would be reminded we have joy and we have hope through the knowledge of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which has cleansed our sin and delivered us from sin's power and allows you, Lord Jesus, to present us in the portals of glory to God the Father, as the Apostle Paul said, as totally unreprovable, as totally righteous. Lord, we give you all praise and honor and glory today for what you've done and are doing in our lives and will yet do. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. In Jesus' name, we turn this service over to the complete control of the Holy Spirit, asking him to help us to preach and minister the word of God in a way that will bring strength to the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've had to do a lot of reflection this week. And that reflection has been focused on all the good things that God has done in my life and in my ministry and in my family. You know, so often in the Old Testament, when Israel would see the hand of God move mightily and he would work a miracle for them, He would tell them oft times, build a memorial to it. God didn't need the memorial. They needed the memorial. And what is a memorial? Something that causes you to remember. It gives you a point of reference. Something you could look back on. God wanted Israel to have a point of reference for every time he came through for them. Something they could look back on and remember. God did it there for us. He brought us through that when it looked hopeless. When we were so helpless and could do nothing for ourselves. We looked unto Jehovah God and he came through and delivered us. I've had to do that kind of reflecting this week due to certain situations that have transpired. And as I look back on certain situations, one the Lord brought to my memory that I don't believe I've ever shared with you before. I've shared with you so oft times about how God delivered my good friend Snowball from horrific bondage of alcohol. Many of you have met him. And how humorously they kicked him out of AA for sharing his faith there and refusing to admit he was an alcoholic any longer. But as we were privileged last month to go back to visit some friends and family in Newark, a man by the name of Dale Pribinow, whom I had the privilege of pastoring when I was at Covenant Christian Church of God in Mount Vernon, had come down to my brother-in-law Roger's house to visit. And the Lord began to take me back to the first time I met Dale and his lovely wife, Vicki. Vicki came into my office with tears in her eyes. And she said, I can't take it anymore. She said, Dale is drinking so badly that he's coming home now and he's starting to get violent with me and the family. She said, he's about to lose his job. He rarely goes to work anymore. And he's a great, great construction guy. Kind of reminds me a lot of his talent and ability like Dennis, who can just look at anything and figure it out and then reproduce it and build it if he has to. But the alcohol had robbed him of it to where he couldn't hardly function anymore. And Vicki was ready to leave and walk. And she loved God. Vicki's always been a good, God-fearing woman. And she said, Pastor, I just can't take any more of this. She said, how will God look at it if I leave my marriage? And she had suffered with this for years upon years. And I'm never one to advocate divorce. But I said, Vicki, I said, he's already abandoned you if he won't let go of the alcohol. And I said, I won't tell you to leave your marriage. But I said, it's going to be something you have to decide between you and the Lord. And I said, you do whatever he tells you to do. I said, if he tells you to stay, even in the face of this horrible circumstance, you do that and he'll bring you through it. But I said, if you feel in your heart the Holy Spirit releases you from your marriage, then we'll love you. We'll still love Dale, but nobody will condemn you or look down on you. And she said, I'm going to pray and fast, Pastor, and seek God's face about what I should do. She came back in. It was about a week later. She set up an appointment with me and came in. And she said, Pastor, she said, I'm going to hold on to God. And I'm going to believe him. I believe he's told me to stick this out. I said, Vicki, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I was just learning at that point in time, or had just learned and received the revelation of the message of the cross, and I just started to preach it. And you know, God never turns you down. Let me say it better than that. God always honors faith. He will always honor faith. If you place your faith and trust in him, I'm here to tell you, no matter how hopeless it may seem, no matter how defeated you may feel, if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he'll always give you hope and he'll always make a way for you to have victory, because there is no defeat in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no defeat in Jesus Christ. And Vicki said, I'm going to believe God. And miraculously enough, all of a sudden and inexplicably, 2 weeks later, Dale said, got up with her, still being in a little bit of an alcoholic stupor. Vicki related this to me later. Said, I want to go to church today. Vicki couldn't hardly believe it. She said, well, get ready. You can go. And she, and I remember the first time he come. Because you all know me. I'm a hugger. I smelled the alcohol on him as I hugged him. And I wasn't going to turn him away. I'm here to tell you, I pray God sends us 1,000 drunks to this church. I pray he sends us 1,000 homosexuals. No, we're not going to condone their sin. We're not going to sit here and tell them they're all right with God, but we're going to tell them God loves you, and he can deliver you from that horrible thing that has your life bound. That's what the church ought to be doing. And I said, man, we're glad to see you today. And he just looked at me so gruff and mean, and I thought, oh, well. But I remember I preached that morning, as I was just every Sunday then, and probably still do preach every Sunday, on the message of the cross and how we didn't have to perform and how sin's bondage could only be broken by the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit was in that service, and he touched Dale Pribbenow's heart. Because Dale had been raised in a Christian home. His mother is one of the most godliest women you would ever want to meet. Dale was not raised around alcohol. Both his mother and father, godly people, brought him up in the church. And I say this to maybe some of you parents who Satan might have you think you failed because you tried to raise your children right, and for some reason they've chosen to turn their back on their faith and what they've been taught and have gone to the world. Keep praying for them, because this gospel is powerful. It's the most powerful force in this universe. And when it's preached properly, it goes into the human spirit and will never be taken out of that human spirit. That's the power of this glorious gospel. And that Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit, Dale would later relate to me, begin to remind him of his mama and how she was yet praying for him. And he said, sitting there in the pew, he shared this with me and reminded me of it when we visited together this past month. He said, there the Holy Spirit grabbed me. And he said, I still love you. Now think of that. And he said, I never heard it put, Pastor, the way you put it, about how only Christ could break sin's power and about how sin had enveloped my life and was driving me and destroying me. And he said, for the first time in my life, I saw what the cross really meant. And he said, I wanted the delivering power of Jesus Christ. And that morning, he came down to that altar, and he was about half drunk, I believe, when he hit the altar. You could still smell the alcohol all over him. But he walked down that aisle with tears streaming that Sunday morning, and he got up a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I got you shouting. Now I'm going to tone you back down for a little bit. He still struggled with it for about 3 to 4 months. He'd have sober weeks for 1, 2, 3 weeks at a time, and then fall back into getting drunk. You say, can a born-again person do that? Absolutely, a born-again person can do that. Before we get too holy, may we remind ourselves one more time. Would you want everything you've done this week put on a screen? If it could be flashed behind me right now? See, we're still in the process of sanctification, all of us. But Dale wanted victory over this thing. And time after time, he'd call me and say, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I was glad to do it. Because you know what? I knew one thing. There are areas in my life I wasn't much better off than he was. Except I'm a redeemed child of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood. And it took about 4 months, but I remember the day, and Dale reminded me of when we were visiting together. He called me and asked me to go out and have pizza with him. And, I'm always up for that. And it was during the afternoon. It was that old Ford Explorer I had. We took and we parked that thing by a creek bank, and we had some pizza. And we had some Coke, and just as we were finishing the pizza and the Coke, Dale sat there and he started to cry. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, please don't give up on me. I said, Dale, I said, I won't ever give up on you. Because I said, can I tell you something, buddy? I said, God is never going to give up on you. And I said, Dale, as long as you're crying out to him to get deliverance from this thing, I said, that proves you're born again. Because he said, Satan's been telling me I'm not saved. I said, Dale, are you fighting with every fiber of your being to get victory over this alcohol? He said, yes, I hate it. I said, did you care before a month ago or a few months back, did you care at all about your drinking? He said, no, I didn't. I said, why do you think you care about it now and don't like it? I said, you're born again, Dale. And there by that creek bank, the Holy Spirit of God hit him. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. He threw up his hands and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. And then he got out. I'm glad it was in a remote area. Somebody thought me and him was just totally nuts. Because he threw up his hands and began to praise God. And we both had our pant legs rolled up. We're sitting there with our feet in the water on a rock. And he got up and threw up those hands and began to speak in tongues. And then he just started dancing like this. I can't dance, but he started there around those rocks speaking in tongues and shouting praises to Jesus Christ. And I didn't know no better. I just started shouting with him. The Holy Ghost fell on me, and I started praising God and thanking God. And then all of a sudden, after he had given an utterance in tongues, he started shouting loud as he could. I don't know if anybody heard it or not, but you could have probably heard it without exaggeration from miles around. He started saying, Pastor, he set me free. He set me free. It's gone. I know it's gone. I'll never take another drink again. And from that day forward, he told me he has never had the desire or never touched it anymore. That's Christmas. That's what the hope of Christmas is all about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He'll do it for anybody. That's why Satan hates this message of the cross. That's why he attacks everyone who believes it and everybody who preaches it. But whatever he throws at us and whatever God allows us to go through, if it brings deliverance to the captive, if it sets a soul free, if it populates the kingdom of heaven, it is worth any sacrifice, any trouble, any travail, because it gives hope to a fallen person. It gives deliverance to a fallen person. It gives restoration to a fallen person. And when Paul wrote this book of Colossians, he was writing to a group of people that loved philosophy and loved human intelligence. Sounds a lot like the modern day in which we're living. And what they had done, the church at Colossae that he had established, they had taken the gospel that had brought them powerful deliverance and had begun to intersperse it with their own human intellect and ideas. And Paul had to write, as the Holy Spirit moved upon him, to remind them that the only way that they were able to have a relationship to Almighty God was through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he begins in verse 20, telling this church at Colossae, I'll get it right, telling this church at Colossae, and we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to relate to them, only Jesus, through your faith in him, is able to present you before God the Father. That's a beautiful picture if you study out the words in the Greek, to present you. It has the idea of royalty presenting another person to royalty. Allow me conjecture for just a moment. That day that my good friend Dale made up his mind to give his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and so it is with everyone who makes that decision. Do you know what goes on in the portals of glory? Literally, really goes on? You're presented by Jesus Christ to God the Father the first second you exhibit faith in what he did on the cross for you. Literally, Jesus Christ takes your name and your person and your spirit before the God of this universe. and presents you as his new son or his new daughter who's been adopted through his blood. And he presents you to him as faultless and blameless and totally holy. That's hope, my brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus came. That's why he broke through time and eternity into this temporal life. He came after us to give us hope. He came after us to give us joy. And there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. What is hope? The Bible says, given the great definition of faith in the book of Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When Christ comes into a life, he immediately fills that heart through the agency of the Holy Spirit with hope and joy. Those are spiritual things. Joy is a spiritual thing. Never confuse joy with happiness. You can be very unhappy and be full of joy. You can be very unhappy. How could Paul, when he wrote most of these great epistles, sitting in Roman prisons, raise his hands and say, "I thank my God"? Oftentimes he called himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ because he knew that Rome was not powerful enough to hold him in a jail cell if God didn't want him there. And if God had him in a jail cell, that's where God wanted him. And he was going to have joy in the fact that he had his hope in Jesus Christ, that the promises of Christ would never fail him, the promises of Christ would never let him down. And he looked back on his life and reflected back on the times that God brought him through, and he would begin to praise God. It's enough to make little Keon shout back there. Look at him. Got his hand raised, glory to God. That's the Holy Spirit moving on that child. Hallelujah. It is something to rejoice about because we have hope. You may not have happiness this Christmas. You may be facing dire circumstances, but you have hope and you have joy if you know Jesus Christ. Somebody give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope. The confident expectation of looking forward to something. And that hope can only be found in Jesus Christ. Of all the things that we possess, if you know Christ as your Savior, your greatest possession is your relationship to God through Him. Because that, in and of itself, has Brother Lauren been using my microphone here? That in and of itself brings hope and joy. See, happiness is predicated upon, is everything going right in your life? And most churches preach happiness, not joy. Joy is a spiritual thing that comes from God. Joy only the Holy Spirit can give. Joy says, when everything's falling apart all around me, I still know Jesus. I still have Jesus. And every promise in this book is mine because of him. I have hope of the resurrection. I have hope of meeting him in the sky at the rapture. I have the hope of knowing that he's going to take care of me, for his eye is on the sparrow. Hallelujah. You have that hope this Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Hope. Hope for humanity. Hope for humanity. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. To give hopeless, hapless humanity something to believe for and a chance at redemption, and more than a chance if you'll put your faith in it. That's why Paul wrote to this church at Colossae telling them, don't forget your peace with God comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your hope emanates through what he did for you on the cross. Your joy, and he tells them, rejoice in this truth. And it's cause for rejoicing that Christ's blood has made you totally free and he has presented you personally. That's an awesome thought. He has presented you personally to God the Father as his very own. And only Jesus can do that. You know, we're in a very, very difficult economic time in the United States of America, and these economic times are a reflection of the spiritual. And it's going to get worse. It is. I read this week where Chrysler shut down every plant it has for 30 days. Think of that. The entire corporation. Who would think that we would ever see the day that the mighty United States government could pump billions and even trillions of money into this economy and still can't get it to work right? God's in control. God's in control. And I dare say to anybody who would try to put forth the idea that they could fix the ills of the United States of America, they're foolish for doing so. And I believe the Lord is going to show the United States of America that there's no hope in Barack Obama. Neither was there any hope in John McCain. I don't want you to think I'm getting political. I'm saying men are leading people to put faith in them. And God is going to show before this world their puniness and their inability. Only God can give the things that mankind needs. And America's facing what it's facing right now because of its rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you study the fall of every great society throughout history, it has begun to crumble within 100 years after one thing was accepted as a norm into that society, and that was the acceptance of open homosexuality. And this week, unabashedly and unashamedly, our president-elect named openly homosexual cabinet members to help him operate this country. We're not going to pull out of this, church. And you say, Pastor, this is a pretty glum Christmas message. No, it isn't. Because we have the hope of Christ Jesus. That's why the Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The doxa, the glory, the revelation of God through Jesus Christ. That's what you possess as a believer. And do you know, this Christmas and throughout the coming year, I believe the Lord had me preach this today to warn us all and to prepare us all. Our faith is going to be tested. But Christ is going to prove himself that he is enough and that our relationship to him and our faith in him is sufficient enough to take us through anything. To take us through anything. Just like he delivered Dale from alcohol, like he's delivered all of us from sin's power, he's going to care for us, he's going to provide for us, and he will never take away hope from us. You see, knowing Christ produces hope and joy. Christ in us. That's why he came. One of the greatest prophecies in the Word of God, I believe, about the coming Christ was when Isaiah wrote, and he shall be called Emmanuel, speaking of the coming Messiah. And he shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. That's hope, my brothers and sisters. That's hope. That's a hope you can base your life upon. That's a hope you can base your future upon. The hope of glory in Jesus Christ. This Christmas, in your heart, make it a Christmas of hope. Let it be a Christmas of hope. I know, as I look out on this congregation, it's been a difficult year for many of you. You've had things come your way and out of the blue at you that you never in a million years thought you'd ever see your face. But you know what blesses me as I look out? You're sitting here this morning in this church through all that you've been through and all that you've suffered. And by you being in this church, you're not here by accident. The Holy Spirit has engineered it for you to be in this church. You're still saying, my faith's in him. My faith's in him. I can trust him when I lose everything I've got. I can trust him. I still have the hope of glory in Christ Jesus, which can never, never, never be taken away from me. You know, they can take away a home, they can take away a car. This world can take whatever it gives. But the hope you have in Jesus Christ is glorious in that it can never be taken away. Somebody give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Whew! Just saying that phrase makes you want to shout, don't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? Give me about five more minutes. It means that every day of your life, because you're in Christ and your faith is in Him, the Holy Spirit is affirming to you the promise of God, the hope of God, the joy of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That can't be taken away from you. That can't be removed from your life, because it did not come from this world. It came from Almighty God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wish I could stand here and tell you in the coming year, you're not going to face some difficult faith testing times. But I can tell you this, confidently, He's going to be there with you, giving you hope, the hope of glory, giving you the affirmation, you're still mine, you're still mine. And I control everything that's going on in your life. And as Paul told the church at Colossae, if you continue in these things, this hope and this joy can never be taken away. It'll always be yours. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of Christmas. That's really what this holiday's all about. Because before Jesus came, this befuddled, sin-besmirched human world had no hope, really. They had the hope of Him coming. But that hope was not manifested and made applicable and made totally available to the human heart and spirit until He came. And His whole life, the whole life of Christ, was to prove one thing. That He was who He said He was. The Son of God came to redeem this world from its sin, coming to give hope and joy. And just as His birth was so nondescript, I think of it. Have you ever thought about it this way? I know when I was in the Air Force, when any kind of general or above visited the base, when his plane landed, they'd have a big band playing and banners, and we'd have to put on these dress blues that we all hated to wear, even though they looked nice on us. We'd have to put them on and stand there at attention and let the general walk by, and they'd sing songs, you know, off we go into the wild blue, you know. A lot of pomp and circumstance, just over a general visiting. But when Almighty God comes to earth, He does it on the backside of a desert in a nondescript form through the poorest and lowliest of circumstances. And He lived 33 and one half years perfectly, Jesus did, to prove that He was the hope giver, the life giver, the joy giver. And in the ultimate consummating act of what He came for was done on the cross. That's why I will never grow tired of preaching it or hearing about it. Because Jesus coming in and of itself was not sufficient to break sin's power and to allow Him to dwell in our hearts and lives. Because we were still sinners. Had He just come and performed miracles and done good deeds, and spoke wisdom to the masses, His whole life would have been insufficient, and we would still be in our sin. But because of that day on the top of Calvary's Hill,
when he willingly gave up his life and bowed his head and said, "It's finished." That's what made the joy and the hope for all humanity possible when they put their faith and trust in him. And that's what Paul wanted the church at Colossae to know. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us reminded of this morning. And we have peace with him through his shed blood. Through his death, it purchased the privilege for us to have hope and joy. And I'm telling you, this holiday season, this Christmas season, and into the next year, every one of us are going to face faith-testing times. But this Bible says that the trying of your faith in God's sight, in 1 Peter, is more precious than that of pure gold. Because God's proven to you that faith, hope, and joy that's given because of your faith in him will carry you through anything this life throws at you. And that's why I closed it out in chapter 1, verse 27, telling them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in his epistle to them, he says, "I write that ye sorrow not as those who have no hope." He was referring to a practice in Thessalonica that when a person would die, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, they would take and literally put on that person's grave, "No hope," the words "no hope." In other words, it's over. Now that would be a sorrowful existence, wouldn't it? If it all ended at the grave, what kind of hope is that? But that's why he wrote to the church at Thessalonica and says, "I'm writing unto you that ye sorrow not as those who have no hope." But then he went on to describe what Titus would call the blessed hope. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We have hope. We have joy because Christ lives in us. Because he came, and not only did he come, he paid the price, met God's standard of holiness, and paid the penalty for sin simultaneously when he gave his life on the cross. And that's why Paul was telling the church at Colossae, and we need to predicate and build our lives upon this foundational truth: Christ in us, the hope of glory. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Musicians, would you come? Heavenly Father, this morning, we rejoice. We rejoice, Lord. Hallelujah, we rejoice. And that we know you. And that we know you, Lord. We are not going to allow this holiday season, this season where we celebrate the great hope and joy that we have in you because you came and you gave your life for us. We're not going to let the world dictate to us what we should do this season. This is your season, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is your season, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're not going to worry about gifts. We're not going to worry about presents, what we didn't get. We're not going to be depressed. We are making the choice to choose hope and joy. And the Holy Spirit is going to affirm that to us in a fresh new way around this altar this morning, because we have the knowledge of Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, like Paul said, if I may borrow his phraseology, I preach to you today as those who don't be sorry as one who has no hope. Rejoice this morning. Christ is in you. you've got hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ is in you. You've got hope of glory. You may be tested, you may be tried, but He will never take away His joy and His hope from you. Praise God. Oh, that's so lightens the spirit, doesn't it, to hear that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Christmas that brought hope to us all so long ago in that little town of Bethlehem, when God Almighty came to this earth. Lord, we thank you that you not only came, but you delivered us through your death, burial, and resurrection from the power of sin so that we may have you dwell in us. The greatest gift in your life this morning is that when you placed your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, literally, He came and interspersed His Spirit with your spirit. He interpenetrated your very being. Jesus Christ did. The Spirit of Christ did. Now, man, that's hope. That's hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the very spirit of Christmas there. In this holiday season, I would urge you, take time with your family. Away from the presents and the tree. Open up your Bible. Read the Christmas story in the books of Matthew and Luke. And be reminded, Christ lives in me. I have the hope of glory. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come present yourselves at the altar? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, have your way today around this altar. Have your way today around this altar, Holy Ghost of God. I know some of you around this altar this morning, some I know of, some I don't. But I believe the Holy Spirit's directing me to say these next few words to you. Sometimes God's going to call us to a test of such magnitude. And we may never know why He did it the way He did it until we get to glory. And I want to be a little bit personal. I've gone through a situation like that recently myself. And I should have known the answer, but as I was praying about it on Friday afternoon, the Holy Spirit took me to the cross. Now, I know that sounds probably funny to most of you, as hard as I preach that glorious message. But He said, you've got to keep your faith in me. Because He said, I stood by at the cross and watched my Son suffer and die. And that cross, to the natural eye, looked like the biggest defeat there ever was. But He said, I was working a work. And He personalized it to me. It's not often the Lord speaks to me, and I know it was Him, in a personal term like this, but He said, son, that's what I'm working in your life. He said, trust me. Trust me. There's no defeat in me. There's no defeat in what my Son did on the cross. It was total victory. Even though it may have appeared initially to be total defeat, because I'm God and I'm able to take that which is defeat and turn it into victory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I feel a rush of the Holy Ghost as I said that. So what do we need to know around this altar this morning? What does the Holy Spirit want you to know? You're not defeated. As long as your faith is in Jesus Christ, you can never be defeated. Hallelujah. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you cannot be defeated. That's not to say you might suffer a painful circumstance or situation that you don't understand. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, is at work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's ultimately going to be victory for you. What you think is defeat, He'll make a victory if you're believing. That's why Paul said to that church at Colossae, if you continue in these things. See, because that's Satan's mission. He wants to destroy your faith. Because once he's done that, you're defeated. Once your faith in Christ is destroyed, you're defeated. And you know what? He cannot take that faith, hope, and joy from you. That's something he tries through circumstances to get you to willingly hand over and give up on. Satan can't take your faith. He cannot snatch your faith away from you. He cannot take your hope. He cannot take your joy. If you lose those things, they have been willingly handed over as an act of your will. And every attack upon you that he launches is to try to get you to do that. But the Bible said, 1 Peter, that the trial of your faith is more precious in God's sight than that of pure gold. Because you know what? I think back to Dale Pribinow. He was about to lose his marriage. He was about to lose his home, about to lose everything he had. But God took what looked like total defeat to his wife, and because of her faith, because she would not quit believing God in the midst of a horrific circumstance, and said, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. She today has one of the godliest husbands you would ever want to meet, who teaches her and he teach Sunday school now. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for you. You can't be defeated. You can't be defeated. And it may look like it for a time, but if your faith stays anchored in Christ, victory is yours today. And that victory will manifest. As horrible as the cross was, as big a defeat as it looked like initially, Sunday morning was coming. Hallelujah. And if you keep your faith in Christ, there's a Sunday coming for you. That's what the Holy Ghost wants you to know today. There's a Sunday coming for you that'll be so glorious. Hallelujah. That it will cause all of the pain and all of the trial to just fade in the background as you do what Dale did that day and lift up your hands and dance around like a fool because of the goodness that God has bestowed upon you. He'll do it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of Christmas. Let that permeate your entire being, especially at this time. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paula, would you come here? I'd like to pray for you. Shannon, Cora, Mina, would you all come forward? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ed, would you come forward? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mark, would you come forward? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you do what you want to do right now. And Lord, perhaps there are others. I don't want to miss you, but I feel these specifically you've instantly spoken to me to call out and pray for. Gather around them and let's pray for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, I feel to pray and ask for a miracle for this little girl. That, Lord, tomorrow when she goes in for those x-rays, that they would show her body as being normal in the name of Jesus. I'm believing you. We're believing you for a miracle, Lord Jesus, in Cora's life. Touch her this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, you said to cast your cares upon you. Lighten Paula's load this morning, Lord Jesus. Let her cast every care upon you, for you care for her. Let her take your yoke upon you, Lord, upon her, Lord Jesus. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Victory is hers today in the name of Jesus. Let Christ in her, the hope of glory, fill her with joy and peace today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, I know that Job would not have wanted to have been the example for all of us. But Lord, you brought him through gloriously. Now we look back on his, the oldest book in the Bible, to show how you work redemptively in every situation. I know Shannon would, Lord, if she'd be honest, would not have chosen to have gone through things that have made her faith shine so brightly before us all. But Lord, I know glory's coming for her. I know blessing beyond all she's ever known is on the way for her because of her faith. I can confidently say that because of where her faith is. And Lord Jesus, give her that hope of your promise today that she has Christ in her, the hope of glory. And that great, great blessing is on the way for her because of her faithfulness to you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, Lord, let Mina feel your love today. Let her feel our love for her. And Lord, let every demon of depression that would attempt to attack her mind, we take authority over them now in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may she see herself as you see her, presented to God the Father as holy, righteous, unblameable, and perfect in the sight of Almighty God, and totally loved. Totally loved. Hallelujah. Not having to earn it, totally loved because of her faith. Let the joy of Christ, of knowing Christ, be her all sufficiency and blessing. And we take authority over every demon spirit that would attack her mind in the name of Jesus. And we charge you to remember the cross of Jesus Christ, which has cleansed her and made her holy and righteous in the sight of Almighty God. And that can never be taken away from her. Bless Mina, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mark, where you at, buddy? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lay hands on him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come today. And Lord, it's not been defeat. You're working a work. And in the end, there's going to be more blessing because of the route you've taken. You've led, and it's been you leading, Lord, even through painful and difficult circumstances. But it's not been to hurt, it's been to bless. And Father, in the name of Jesus, let every doubt that Mark has had fade into the love of Jesus Christ today. And knowing that the greatest blessings he's ever known, I know you've blessed this family mightily, Lord, this beautiful little Avery. And Lord, I want to choose my words carefully here as I feel the Spirit of God speaking to me. I wouldn't want to lead Mark wrong in any way. My son, fear not. I have heard your prayers. I've not turned away from you. But I'm preparing you. Everything that's happened has been to prepare you for my blessing. Do not let go of your faith in me. Though you be tempted to do so, hold to me. Hold to me. For I'm preparing you for blessing. I'm preparing you for blessing, says your Lord. Father, thank you. And Lord, I pray that this season you'll let Christ and Mark, the hope of glorious things to come for him, permeate his heart and life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There's somebody else I had mentioned. Who was it? Ed. Ed, would you come here, please? I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Would y'all lay hands on Ed? Father, we don't often see it this way, but those you love and those who you're preparing to bless, first you take us down a rough and difficult road. As one of your servants, Lord, A.W. Tozer put it, it's doubtful God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And Lord, strengthen Ed's faith today. Deepen his soul to keep walking with you because victory is his. And just as we prayed for Mark, I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me again to tell you, Ed, it's been a preparation for blessing, and it's coming. Greater than you've ever known because you've been faithful to him. In the midst of the fiery furnace, you've remained faithful. And do not let the enemy condemn you over being tempted to let go of faith. Because if we'll all be honest, Brother Ed, we've all been tempted to let go of our faith at times. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know he's been preparing you for blessing. To fear not. Fear not at the things that you see happening. Some may be disconcerting, but your God will not fail you. He's going to bless you. Thank you, Lord. Minister unto Ed today, I ask in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God. Amen and amen. Now to everyone, would you just lift your hands toward heaven? When the Holy Spirit starts leading me that way, I hesitate often to call people out because the Holy Spirit doesn't want anyone to feel left out. And don't think I had to call your name for God to give you blessing and God to give you renewed strength and hope and joy around this altar today. Perhaps another time it'll be your time. And God knows what we need and when we need it. Perhaps these people needed their faith strengthened by being called out this morning. And the Lord knows you've got enough faith to believe him without somebody calling out your name. Father, in the name of Jesus today, bless your children with a fresh revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of Christmas that cannot be taken away from us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your blessing. Thank you for your word that reveals Jesus to us. And thank you for Jesus who presents us unto you. Christ in us. The hope of glory. The hope of Christmas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you came, Lord. Thank you that you came after us when we weren't worthy for you to do so. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And we celebrate the joy that we have in you. Amen. And amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be in God's house with you today. And please remember, no service this Wednesday night. It's Christmas Eve. I hope many of you have something planned with your family or, you know, you're going to be with a family that you feel close to. But even if you're alone for some reason, you may be alone physically, but you have Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll get you in just a second. And, please join us today. Does everybody know where the Golden Corral is? Anybody not know where it is? Over on Bechtel. Please join us today for dinner. We're going to have a great time of fellowship over there. It's all going to be covered by the church. We just wanted to have a day of fellowship and not have to have you ladies have to lug everything in and us have to set up. We'll just go and have a meal together. Please, please, please come and join us if you can. No service this Wednesday night. Have a blessed Christmas. Wherever you find yourself. And we'll be back again next Sunday morning in service. And Paula, I think you had something. Thank you, Lord. Lay hands on her, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I thank you for giving me a wonderful wife, Lord, that I'm not worthy of this little lady. I thank you for her faith. I thank you for her steadfastness, Lord. Father, a man couldn't ask for a better helpmate than Ravana. And Lord, bless her today. I know it's been difficult times on her, Lord Jesus. Father, bless her and strengthen her. Minister unto her today. Holy Spirit of God, I ask in the name of Jesus. Go deep in her today, Holy Spirit, and minister to her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go deep in her soul and spirit today, Lord, and heal her. Heal her of things that have happened now for years, Lord, that she's borne quietly. And those little shoulders have borne an awful heavy load that, Lord, possibly only you and I know about. And, Lord, she's held up so well under it all. I thank you for her faith, Lord. Bless her today, Lord Jesus. Minister unto her, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Paula, for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I think that's about all the announcements and everything I have, except have a blessed Christmas. And if you know Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you'll have a blessed Christmas, because that's what makes a blessed Christmas. Amen. God bless you so very much. I'm going to ask Ravana and my kids, because we got to be first over there. We're going to make a quick exit here so we can get over there. And we'll see you over, Lord willing, if you can come be with us over at Golden Corral. And if I don't get a chance to see you and hug your neck and shake your hand, for me and my family, you have a blessed Christmas. Praise God. Who do I want here? Where's Ed, come dismiss us in prayer, would you? You don't want to? Okay. Ned, will you come? I'll get somebody that rhymes with you then.